Hello, everyone. Welcome back to our journey through Mark's Gospel, chapter 2 today, which starts with one of my favorite Bible stories. But first, think about this one. Jesus made some big claims, big enough to get him killed. And this is the challenge for any who might try to take Jesus as a great philosopher, or teacher, or healer, or revolutionary, or whatever you might say. Jesus claimed to be much more. We'll see that as we read on. But a claim is just words. Anyone can claim to be anything. But did Jesus prove it? The story in chapter 2 begins with Jesus in a town called Capernaum. The people of the small town heard that Jesus was there, and the crowd showed up. In verse 2, they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Notice that. Jesus preached the word. That's the Bible. Remember chapter 1. There were lots of miracles, lots of excited people. But Jesus said that he came to preach, and he called the miracles signs. So follow the signs. And though Jesus was there to preach, there was a man who desperately needed a miracle. Verse 3. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Time out. Do not miss the gravity of the statement that Jesus just made. Rewind the tape there. "Son, your sins are forgiven." The man showed up for healing, not forgiveness. The man is paralyzed. Clearly, his friends brought him to be healed. But Jesus knows something. No matter what you're going through, there is no issue in life as big as sin and forgiveness. And watch what happens next. Verse 6. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Now, the teachers of the law were religious leaders, responsible for maintaining God's truth. Unfortunately, we'll find out soon that they were also self-righteous and judgmental, the kind of religious people that make the rest of us resent religion. But at this point, understand that the teachers are doing their job. Who can forgive sins but God? To claim to forgive someone's sins was to claim the authority of God. If it's not true, it's blasphemy. And no one argued that logic, not even Jesus. But watch verse 8. Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'?" I love this question. You got to think about this one. Which one is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven. It's easy to say because no one can tell if it worked. But it's much harder to do. Only God can forgive sin. But to say to a paralyzed man, "Get up, take your mat, and walk," that puts it all on the line. Everyone's watching. A few seconds and everyone will know if you're the real deal. So in verse 10, Jesus continues, "But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Now that is how Jesus throws it down. Which one is harder to say? Get up and walk, of course. But Jesus says both. Why? Because he wants them all to know something. He wants us to know something about the Son of Man. Now, the term Son of Man is an important Old Testament title for the Messiah, the Savior. When Jesus uses the title Son of Man to refer to himself, it may sound a bit odd in English today, but it's important. He is reminding the Jews that his life and ministry was prophesied, and that the Messiah had to be human. See, the Son of Man is a man, the Son of God is God. Jesus was both. And the miracle was a sign pointing to his authority. Jesus wants them to know that the Son of Man, a human, has authority to forgive sins, something only God can do. So he does it. He says the harder one, get up and walk. He does it as a sign. Remember, follow the signs where they are pointing. And this one is pointing very overtly at who Jesus is, and specifically to his authority. And there's that word again, authority, power with the right to exercise it. Jesus has the authority to forgive sin. A side note here for you who have trouble forgiving yourself. If you say, I know God forgives me, but I just can't forgive myself. Remember that sin is not yours to forgive. You don't have that authority. Only God does. And if Jesus calls you forgiven because he paid the price, it is done. Your place is to accept the truth. And take note of why this man was forgiven. Jesus saw their faith. Forgiveness comes by faith in Jesus. Your part is faith. Also take note that after the miracles, many stubborn hearts still refuse to believe. Understand that miracles don't produce faith, but faith does produce miracles. The story moves on in verse 13. Jesus is teaching beside a lake, and he sees Levi working as a tax collector. Now, tax collectors were despised in that time, corrupt men who overcharged poor taxpayers and pocketed the extra. Wicked greed. And yet Jesus approached Levi. Follow me, Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. There are those two words again, that same invitation. But this time, Jesus invites a sinner, a very bad person, and Levi follows. And when Levi invites Jesus and the disciples for dinner, there are even more sinners. Now, this was especially difficult for the Pharisees to understand. The Pharisees were religious leaders, the judgmental and self-righteous kind, who just couldn't understand. If Jesus is a good rabbi, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Verse 17 is a profound statement. On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Don't miss this. Jesus chose sinners. Levi was a sinner. So were his friends. But just as a doctor comes to heal the sick, Jesus comes to forgive and restore sinners, to make them righteous. Righteous means right with God. That's an important word. You know that feeling between two people when your relationship is right, when nothing stands between you. And you probably know that feeling when a relationship is not right, when a wall is between you because you messed up. Well, that's where we are with God. Sin separates us. We did wrong. But the gospel, the great news, is that Jesus came to make us right again. He forgives sins and calls us righteous. What he asks from us is faith. We are righteous by faith. And even more amazing, Jesus chooses sinners, makes them right, and sends them out to serve God. In chapter 3, we'll read as Jesus calls to himself a group of 12 and appoints them to be apostles. A disciple follows, an apostle is sent, like a messenger or ambassador. And there in that list of 12 is Levi, only his name is changed to Matthew. Jesus chooses sinners, forgives them, heals and changes them, and he sends them out to tell all the other sinners the good news. God loves you. Amazing. And he still does it today. Read Mark 2. Follow the signs, and we'll meet you back here in chapter 3.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.